Today's scripture is Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 6. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock, for he has humbled the inhabitants of the height of the lofty city. He lays it low to the ground, cast it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
Well, we're smack dab in the middle of the 2024 Olympics. And if you're like my family, you have been often at night glued to the TV watching those wonderful athletes compete. And they've put in dedication and time, and those athletes, each of those athletes, compete to win. They compete for a prize. They compete to be the one that is standing in the middle of the podium at the end of the competition. And we know that those who win that competition, they receive a gold medal. But not only do they receive a gold medal, it is only the gold medalists that has their national anthem played. It's the only one. They're the victors. They get their song played and sung for them. It's a song of victory. What we have in the first six verses of Isaiah 26 is a song of victory. But unlike Olympians who hope they will have their representing nation's song played and sung at the end of the competition, the people of God have the assurance of singing a song of victory on the last day. The remnant, those found to be trusting in the Lord on Judgment Day, according to Isaiah, they will sing. They will sing. There's no maybe we will sing. No, on that day, Christ will be victorious and all found in him will be singing their hearts out. If you thought you were singing this morning, that's nothing. On that last day, we will be singing our hearts out. Notice the surety of that. Verse 1 declares, in that day, this song will be sung. Isaiah 26 and 1. In that day, this song will be sung. It's a sure thing. And it's a glorious song. It's a glorious and encouraging song. As I said, it is a song of victory and thanksgiving, reflecting on the goodness of God. And we should note that this is not a victory won by the people of God. It is a victory won by God on behalf of his people. That is an important note to remember. When we sing songs like Victory in Jesus, My Savior Forever, or We Have Overcome, or I've Got the Victory, I Got the Victory, right? When we sing those songs, we are singing of Jesus' victory, won on our behalf. God's people rejoice because he has fought for us and won the victory. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah, you have done it all for me. We've sung this song. Oh, we will be singing of the Lord's might and strength and how he carried us over. We didn't carry ourselves over. He carried us over. And that is what Isaiah is prophesying in our text this morning. He is again pointing the people of God forward to think about the end of it all. He wants their gaze to be pressed forward, forward to the end, to think about the end of it all, to reflect on what a joyous day it is going to be for the people of God as they celebrate all that the Lord has won for his people on that last day. I know that we say that you shouldn't count your chickens before they hatch. Don't celebrate too early is the admonition often. Well, with the Lord, those rules don't apply. Those rules are not for him. His victory is sure. So Isaiah says we can sing a song of victory now, for in that day we are going to rejoice. And you know what we're going to rejoice in over? We are going to rejoice in the city in which we dwell. The city in which we dwell. Notice verse 1. God's people will sing, "We have a strong city." That's what we're going to sing. We have a strong city. In that day, God's people are going to sing because we will be residents of a strong city. A strong city. And not just any city, a city that was long promised. It was what was promised to Abraham when he was called out of Haran. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us of that fact. Hebrews 11 and then verse 10. Excuse me, Hebrews 11, verse 8, and then verse 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Then verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Oh yes, the fulfillment of this promise was partially fulfilled when God's people entered into the land of Canaan. But Canaan was not to be the final resting place. It was going to be a pit stop. God's people were not just marching to Canaan. God's people have always been marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, that beautiful city of God. We need to keep in mind that the ultimate city promised to Abraham and to the people of God, us included, is still future. There is a city yet still to come. And that city, that is the city Isaiah is telling the people they are going to be celebrating in. The remnant, the people of God, are going to be in that city, and they are going to be singing, "We have a strong city." It is the city John caught a glimpse of in Revelation. Revelation 21, 1 and 2. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the city God's people will inhabit and will be singing about. There is one architect in this city. Only one city planner. It has a solid infrastructure because its maker and builder is God. That is the city God's people are longing for. That's the city Isaiah wants them to catch a glimpse of and to picture and to think about. It's the city that we all, God's people, should be longing for. At least we should be. You know, there are lists that appear on the internet from time to time listing out the top 10 cities in the world. Of course, they use various data points and criteria to put together their rankings. And their usually are some great cities on that list. Cities like London and Paris and Tokyo and Dubai and, of course, New York. That concrete jungle where dreams are made of. There's nothing you can't do. It's a great city. Amen, New Yorkers? Amen, amen. Amen. We look at those lists and we are enamored with these cities. Oh, it would be great to visit these great cities. It'd be great to visit London and Paris and New York and Tokyo. And oh, if we're lucky, perhaps we could even live in one of those cities in our lifetime. But brothers and sisters, let's not get caught up. Let's not get caught up with these earthly cities. Please know and understand that there is a city coming that will put all those current cities to shame. And its beauty and characteristics are unmatched. Its data points are off the charts. Revelation 21 has a lot to say about those glorious characteristics, but I want us to notice how Isaiah describes this city. He says, "It is a city according to the song the Lord gives him. It is a city fortified by salvation." Fortified by salvation. Isaiah 21, 26 and 1. "Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation." City walls in the ancient world were of utmost importance. The state and the condition of your walls communicated how safe you were. Your city walls kept the enemies out and kept the people in. Safe within. The walls were your first line of defense, and they spoke to your military prowess. Isaiah says that the city that awaits the remnant will have walls fortified by salvation. Salvation will surround the people. In other words, God's people who dwell in this city will be safe and secure because they would have been saved by God. Safe and secure because they would have been saved by God. And you know what that means? As a resident of the city of God, you are not going to be kicked out, nor are you going to be snatched out by the enemy. You are safe and secure in that city. Forever, forever a resident of the city of God. You do know that this safety and security that God's people, that's a safety and security that we as God's people, that we enjoy that now. We enjoy that now. We just struggle to believe it. We are granted the same assurance now that we will enjoy within the salvation fortified walls of the city of God. Jesus says this to his followers in John 6 and 37. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." He says in John 10 and 28, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Brothers and sisters, this is the promise now and for all eternity. You are safe and secure in the city of God because it is fortified by salvation. If the Lord saves you, then you are saved. He keeps you. Those in the city, they are going to be singing because they have been saved forever, never to be cast out, never to be found in the clutches and bound by the evil one. There they will dwell in this city. They, the people of God, the remnant, or as Isaiah says here, the righteous and the faithful ones. these are going to be in that city. The righteous and the faithful ones. This salvation fortified city will be occupied and opened to the righteous and faithful ones. Isaiah 26 and 2 tells us, open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. There is a lot of talk during this election season surrounding the idea of immigration and whether we should, as a country, have open or closed borders. Well, I'm not interested in wading into those waters this morning. But here is what I do know. Whether we as a country open or close our borders, it is clear from Isaiah 26 that the gates to the city of God will be open. Open. They will be wide open. Open, open, open for anyone to come. Open for all to come. Well, according to Isaiah and the testimony of scriptures, yes and no. Yes and no. The city is indeed open. The city of God's gates are open. This is the testimony of scripture. Isaiah says it himself in Isaiah 55 and 1. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is the testimony in Isaiah. It's open. The gates are to the city of God are open. This is the testimony of Jesus. On the last day of the feast, in John 7 and 37, he says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Brothers and sisters, all throughout the scriptures, the invitation God gives is for all to come. Can all come? The answer to that question is yes. Come all you weary. Come all you broken. Come to the waters that never run dry. Are you in need of shelter and security? Well, then you come. Are you looking for a strong and a glorious and a beautiful and a wonderful city? Well, then, yeah, you come, come, then come. This is the invitation every proclaimer of the gospel is giving. The gates to the city of God are open. The doors to the church, always open. Come, come. They are open. But here's the deal. Not everyone can enter. Only the righteous and the faithful can enter. Psalm 24 and verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, in Matthew 5 and 8. All can come, but in order to enter, you have to be right with God. And guess what? Everyone enters this world an enemy of God. You have to get right with God in order to enter the city gates. Sounds exclusive. Sounds exclusive. And don't misunderstand me. It is. It is. Only those right with God can get in. There is no other way. But the amazing truth is that while it is exclusive, it is also scandalously inclusive in that anyone can get right with God. Anyone can get right with him. He has made a way. Yes, you who feel unworthy. Yes, you who feel inadequate. Yes, you overcome by the weight of your sin. Yes, you who are born an enemy of God and think there is no way to be righteous, God has made a way for anyone to get in. Anyone can get in. He made a way. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever, does that not sound inclusive? Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Anyone, by believing in Jesus can enter and live eternally in the city of God. Trust in God. That's the way in. That's the way in. Trust in God. Trust in his Savior. Have faith in Jesus. That is what it means to be righteous, to be made right with God. Romans 1:16-17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. By faith in Christ are we made righteous. Only those who are trusting in Jesus will be in the city. Now, I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. I don't know about you. But I look forward to dwelling in a city where entrance is not due to your economic status. It's not due to your family heritage or your popularity or your intellect or what you do for work or what good deeds you have done. All those in the city of God get in the same way, humbled and brought low by the cross. Again, anyone can come. Anyone can come. But in order to get in, you have to enter in by way of Jesus alone. And guess what? You don't have to wait till that last day. You don't have to wait till that last day. You can be a resident of the city of God now. Trust in Jesus alone today, and you will be a resident in the city of God. Punch your ticket now. Get it now so that when the gates are open, you just walk right in. Hey, how are you getting in? I trust in Jesus. That's how I got in. Trusting in Jesus. Oh, it's going to be a glorious day in that city of God when all the saints are gathered and we're going to be singing. We have a strong city that's fortified by salvation. It's going to be a glorious day when all the saints of God will be in one accord and singing of our Savior and the salvation that is ours. We will be full of joy. And you know what else we're going to be full of? Peace. Peace. The inhabitants in the city of God will sing because we will know nothing but peace. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now, whether we know it or not, this is the peace we all long for. Not just any peace, shalom. Shalom. Perfect peace. Wholeness, not just peace in terms of no war, but shalom in the Hebrew connotes the idea of complete serenity in body and soul. This will be the testimony of all those who dwell in the city of God. Perfect peace. But here's the important part to remember about what Isaiah is saying here. Yes, he is pushing the remnant's gaze forward to the end. He wants them to know that there is coming a day when they will know nothing but shalom. But he also wants them to understand that in the midst of their current turmoil, this is a promise that can be realized now. It can be realized now for the people of God. And brothers and sisters, I want to convince you this morning that this promise is for you too. Peace now can be accessed. We know we will experience shalom perpetually and eternally in the city of God, because the Bible tells us that our minds at that point on that last day, when the Lord comes and judges everything on that last day, that our minds at that point will be fully consumed with the Lord. Our faith will be sight. And therefore, we will not struggle with trusting the Lord. No longer will we see through a glass dimly, but we will be fully devoted to the Lord. There in that day, there's going to be no wondering if we are saved. There will be no sin to contend with, no wrestle with our unfaithful world, no more lies from the enemy being told us, no stressing if everything is going to work out, no more ailments in our bodies. We will know perfect peace because we will be fully trusting the Lord. There'll be nothing to hinder that trust. That's what we have to look forward to. But the question is, what do I do with the wrestle now? Because we're all wrestling with something now. You are. Can this peace be accessed now? That's the question. Well, I believe Isaiah is giving the people of God a remedy to deal with the distressing circumstances of life. Those in Judah, his original hearers, you do remember, they did not know peace. They don't know peace. Their nation was in turmoil and full of sin and wickedness. Other nations were threatening to invade them and send them into exile. All this was in accordance with the judgment of God being prophesied over them. And the remnant, remember, were told that, look, you're not going to be rescued out of this persecution. You're going to be preserved through it, but you're going to feel the effects of this judgment, of the invasion. Not rescued out of it, but preserved through it. And so, brothers and sisters, the remnants, the people in Judah, they did not know peace. But Isaiah is telling them that they can access that shalom that is to come on that last day. God tells his people that he will grant peace to those who keep their minds on him and trust in him. Brothers and sisters, this is not just a future promise. This is for you now. You can access now the shalom that we will fully enjoy on that last day in the city of God. I know what you're thinking. Well, what does that look like? How is that even possible? Is it possible? I think Paul can help us with that question. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Paul says, in answer to that question, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we are stressed and overwhelmed with the circumstances of life, we are told to take those things to the Lord in prayer. And God will take our anxiety and our stresses and replace them with peace. With peace, but not just any old peace, But peace that to the earthly minded won't make sense. You see that? Peace that surpasses all understanding. People will look at you, they'll see that you're peaceful in the midst of what you're going through and wonder, is that even possible? Yes, because it is granted from the Lord. Yes, to the earthly minded, it seems impossible. But it's peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense apart from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this isn't magic. That's not magic. This isn't a coping mechanism that doesn't deal with reality. It's truth. It is what trusting in God produces in his people. He is the everlasting rock upon which his people stand. When everything else gives way, when all is raging around, there is a rock upon which we can stand that will never be moved. I trust in God, my Savior. He will never fail. He will never fail. He will never fail. So rather than fixing your mind on the situation, that's, guess what? That's always changing. Fix your mind on the Lord who never changes. The rock. Set your feet upon the rock that will never fail, that will never change. You need a constant. You need to fix your eyes on the Lord. Several years ago, I was on a boat in the middle of the ocean, and we were bobbing up and down, and I started to feel queasy and started to feel like I was gonna lose my lunch, right? And so the captain noticed me struggling with the bobbing and the weaving, and you know what he told me to do? Fix your eyes on the horizon. Fix your eyes on the horizon. You need something to steady you. You need something that doesn't move. You need something that's fixed so that while you are tottering and teetering, your eyes are fixed on that horizon and it'll settle you. Brothers and sisters, when life has us ripping and tottering and teetering, we need to fix our minds on the Lord, the rock that never changes. Keep your minds fixed on him. And he will keep you in perfect peace. Peace, peace. This is the message of Psalm 46. You know, it was Martin Luther's, one of his favorite psalms. Martin Luther dealt with depression, feeling bad all the time, and struggling through life. He would turn to Psalm 46 to steady him, to keep his eyes fixed on God. Christ. Therefore, Psalm 46, 2 and 5, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. This is the God in whom we trust, brothers and sisters. He is trustworthy, and his trustworthiness is proven in the last stanza. In the last stanza that we will examine this morning. Remember, we said that this is a song of victory. That's how we started. It is a celebration of what the Lord has done. In fact, it is a celebration of what he said he would do. Through the prophet Isaiah, God had been telling the people to trust him. God is telling them, trust him. I know the temptation is that the nations, they're strong. They've got military might. They're taking over. They're scary. Trust. They're going to want you to trust them, but don't trust them. You're going to be tempted to trust in God. That's what he's been telling them. Well, he says the same thing to us. Why? Because their destruction and doom is sure. The other nations, they weren't going to last. They were going to fizzle out. Well, on that last day, God's people will be singing because God did what he said he would do. Look at verses 5 and 6. For he has humbled the inhabitants of the height of the lofty city. He lays it low to the ground, casts it to the dust, the foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. All those who exalted themselves in the city of man against the Lord and his people will be humbled. Humbled. And those whom they oppressed will trample upon them. Victory. The Lord will have won the victory for his people. No more threat of war or invasion. There will be none left to torment the people of God. The poor and the oppressed will celebrate the victory over their oppressors in the city of God. The Lord, who told his people to trust him, will come through on their behalf. You see, brothers and sisters, he's trustworthy. He is trustworthy. You can believe him. You can celebrate the victory. You can count your chickens before they hatch. God's people can sing a song of victory now. We can sing a song of victory now as we anticipate singing that same song in the city of God. The question is, are you a resident of that city? Will you be singing on that last day? Oh, come, the gates are open. Lay down your self-righteousness. Lay down your good works. Trust in Jesus, and you can be a resident of that city today. The gates are open. Trust in Jesus now and join all those who are singing now. All of us who are trusting in Jesus now, even in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of the heart, in the midst of the difficulty, you know what we can sing? Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. It may seem like we are losing, brothers and sisters. We are not. The victory has already been won. We will be singing on that last day. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Let's pray.